Showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, Monday edition, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin, Emmy Award winner. I'm Chase McCabe, haven't won anything. And Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Nani got on him this weekend for his prank phone calls. How we doing, fellas?
Nani. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
On your radio.
And we're back. Good weekend. Had a good time. Real quick, gets off my chest, everything else. If you are the lead dog at a red light, you need to put your phone down and focusing on being number one.
Agreed.
Again, if you're the lead dog at a red light, go. This guy.
Be Cam Ward. Be number one.
Yeah, right? This guy at Donaldson Pike at Murfreesboro Road was on his phone. He was the lead dog. I was four cars back, and I almost lost my mind. So if you're the lead dog, that's a great responsibility, like Peter Parker had when with great responsibility.
With great power comes great responsibility.
There you go. That's it. So remember that, and so I feel better now.
Okay.
He was number one.
Thank you very much. Also, real quick, before we get into the draft and all this, shout out to your son, JJ, and his plays over the weekend at DCA.
You.
I know you really enjoyed that. And I saw the pictures and everything. Looked like you did a great job.
It was a fun time. Packed house. A lot of support. A lot of people came out there. So thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Bittersweet. That's the last rodeo for that. So excuse me while I go in the corner and get in a fetal position and cry for a week. But it's all good. We're all good. Today's a good day. Today's a great day. It's going to be a great week.
Well, let's start with the draft. It is finally done. Thank the good Lord. It is finally done. People over the weekend were like, oh, are you sad the draft is over? And I would say things I can't say on the air because it's like – Now, you know, I said, look, it got old talking about the same thing over and over again. Now we have new things to talk about over and over again.
Love it, though. But you know what? I'll give you credit. You said they were going to trade out of that, get a number three and trade back and trade their number two. I was like, it's too complicated. And they did exactly what you talked about. They traded that number two back and gobbled up more picks. Well done.
So what I'm seeing from all the quote-unquote draft experts – in looking at the Titans draft is basically anywhere from a B minus to an A plus when looking at the Titans draft. Obviously Cam Ward goes number one overall. As Joe mentioned, they did trade out of 35 and go with Olafemi Oladejo, the edge rusher from UCLA. That was the pick that I didn't love, and more time that went by, I loved it less and less, but he's here now, so I'm willing to give it a chance.
Say his name again.
Olafemi Oladejo.
Okay, I had no idea how to pronounce it.
Now, I am going to say, I'm going to go ahead and give a disclaimer. And to my wrestling fans out there, you will get it. I guarantee you I'm going to call this guy Olafemi at least once, and that's a wrestler.
Okay.
Because he goes by Femi. I think Femi Oladejo is kind of what he goes by.
Which guy?
The UCLA.
Okay, all right.
Rusher.
All right.
Yeah. So they take him at 52. He's only been an edge rusher for a year, had 4.5 sacks last year. Obviously, I'm kind of like Jared. I want a sacker, not an edge setter. But we'll see on him. They go Kevin Winston Jr., the safety out of Penn State at 82. The more time goes by with this pick, the more I love this pick.
He's a good player.
I think, and a lot of people are saying this is the steal of the draft, that I think they got a first-round talent that tore his ACL. Now, and here's what I'm going to say on that, because I know Jared is saying this and other people are going to say this too. He's hurt. Here we go again, taking a hurt player. If you look at all the acquisitions with free agency in the draft that this regime, meaning Borgonzi Brinker, have made, they're getting guys that play all the games. They're not signing hurt guys.
Correct.
So who's to say you can't take a flyer on one hurt guy in the third round? I don't have a problem with it. You took a third-round flyer on a guy that basically was graded as a first-round talent outside of the injury.
I do. I like it. The guy likes to hit.
Yes.
If you're a safety, you want to hit. And I'm like, a safety might get – they need this guy. So if you come across the middle and receiver's like, am I going to get my block knocked off? Yes, this guy likes to hit. So it's a good pick. I'm with you, man.
Yeah, so I think that is going to be a good one. The fourth round is by far my favorite round of the draft.
Yes.
for those of you that were around for our draft simulation, clearly I was not good with the name here. I'm sure Dr. Crane has this ready to go. But with pick 103, the first pick of the fourth round, the Titans select Shamir Dike of the Florida Gators. Not to be confused with how I said it. Do we have it? No, we don't have it.
Oh, my
with,
gosh.
I called him Shamir Dike.
Did you? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, DK.
Well, we laughed because you did 37 draft simulations, and I swear to God, in every draft simulation, you drafted this guy, but you drafted him in like the sixth or seventh round.
Right, right. And so that's my concern is that now – and I'm actually going to the Titans today, and I'm going to try and ask this question. Because I do feel like that there were a lot of guys that you know may have been graded as, oh, this guy was a fifth rounder or this guy was a fourth rounder. But because so many of the players were basically the same, and what I mean by that is kind of the same grade, that you had some guys that they really could have gone fourth, fifth, sixth, and they just were kind of spread all over the place. So I think DK might have been one of those guys that – yes, he might have been there in the sixth round, but clearly they liked him and just went ahead and got him.
I like it, too. And I like the fact that now we look at him, I always think about Dimitri Kaladimos, DK.
Oh,
that's how they'll pronounce his name for them.
Yeah,
so
there you
well
go.
Done.
They go Gunnar Helm, the tight end of Texas, who I had in a few of my draft simulations. I really like that pick.
But my thing is, why did he was, I thought, 80s, 90s right
yeah.
there, 70s?
He fell a little bit, yeah.
Fell a little bit. A little bit.
But he's a red zone threat. They need a red zone threat, especially with a young quarterback. So I look for him to be a solid addition. And then this, I think, is everyone's favorite pick probably. Aya Minor, the wide receiver out of Stanford. They actually traded back into the fourth round to get him. I love this pick.
Is that was it the picture of him toasting Travis Hunter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
he beat him, like absolutely dunked on him.
I like it. All right.
And then there were people trying to make the excuse of, well, at that point in the game, Travis Hunter had played 60 snaps on offense and 60 snaps on defense. And I was like, don't give me that BS, because if he's going to tout himself as being a two-way player and Jacksonville's saying they're going to use him on that they got a starting corner and a starting receiver.
Correct.
I don't want to hear that crap. Don't be making that excuse.
I'm with you. And the next one is my favorite player they drafted.
Jackson Slater.
Yep.
The guard.
I don't care. The interview with him, he looks mean. He looks nasty. He's the kind of guy that's opening the door for your grandmother, letting her into the grocery store. He's also the guy that's going to drive block your ass 50 yards down the field. I'm telling you, I looked at some stuff on him. That's a great pick. And the fact that he came from Sacramento State, you know, the Cats coach. Does radio for Sacramento State. Probably knows this guy well. The guy is a mauler. I'm telling you, you need nasty guys on the offensive line. That offensive line for the Titans the last 2 years, a bunch of nice guys. You need nastiness. And this Jackson Slater is a mean player. I love
Darren
this pick.
Darren Arbett.
Love it.
Coach Darren Arbett.
Yes.
We'll need to ask him about him. They go Marcus Harris, the corner from Cal, and then a running back, Khalil Mullins, who said he's named after Superman. Kal-El. Kal-El. He's a running back from Michigan, so there you go.
Did he say that really?
Titans draft. Yeah. The Titans also signed wide receiver Xavier Restrepo from Miami, who, of course, played with Cam Ward at Miami. He did not get drafted. He ran a really bad 40 time at the combine. I think that hurt him. I love the signing. You got three young, hungry wide receivers that are going to come in here and try and make this team.
He was the number one, according to two lists I saw, the number one available undrafted free agent. By the way, kudos to you and your FRA education, because you pronounced all these names correctly, especially Xavier.
Yeah, because people say Xavier.
Yeah, it's not Xavier. So, well done, FRA. You turned out a good one over here. $38,000 a year, and Chase was able to figure everything out. Good job.
So overall, I like the draft. I mean, you know, with these guys, hang on, let me finish my thoughts.
Okay.
All right, Jared, let me finish. Overall, I like the draft, but guess what? It doesn't matter. Let's see it. I got to see everything first. I can like the film. I can like what people write about these guys. I can like the draft grades. I can like what they're going to get up there and say today about why they drafted these guys. Ultimately, I got to see it on the field. How are they going to play?
Sure.
How are they going to fit in this offense and this defense? If Kevin Winston Jr. becomes this guy where he's going to, you know, like a Blaine Bishop Byard, yeah. like knock your head off, yes, sir. And guess what? Wasn't it around pick 82 where they got Byard?
Something like that.
Somewhere yeah. in there.
Now, is he healthy? I mean, is he going to not be here for camp? I don't.
No, it's an ACL. I mean, so, yeah, it's going to be a slow go. But you got a Hooker and the guy they just signed, Xavier Woods, that they just signed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you're okay. good there. Like, you don't have to rush him in.
Is there a timetable for him? I had no idea.
No, I don't know. I haven't looked. So
I believe he got injured in the second week of the season.
Okay, like so he should be good.
Yeah, yeah. And he actually had the opportunity to come back at the end of the season for Penn State and chose not to. So
yeah. Well, that. I am going to – I mean, I do think we should try effort our buddy Jimmy Frank. I'd love to get his thoughts on him. So we'll see if we – we'll try. Gosh. Joe, call him up real quick.
I'll do that. But – overall, your favorite player is Shamir DK.
DK.
And, yeah. 67, round 5, Shamir Dyke, wide receiver, Florida. And then round 6, pick 178, a tight end, Jackson Hawes from Georgia Tech.
You like Thank those you. Dykes. I mean, that's the Dyke guy, right, from Florida. You got him yesterday in the draft, too,
sure
as well.
Did. Yeah.
Out of Florida.
Shamir Dyke?
Shamir Dyke. Chase loves that Shamir Dyke. So, well done. Well done. He's a good player. Probably not the best player, but he's good.
Here's what I want to know.
Sorry.
In all the times we brought him up, why did no one correct us?
Not a soul. Again, every draft you did, you picked this guy. I'm telling you, and you're like, it's Dyke again. Every time, like, ah, you love this guy. Because now it's like there's something personal with this. But they got him now. I don't know about him going in the fourth round, but if he's – a guy that can come in and contribute right away, boom. Now let me ask you this. How many of these guys, excluding Winston, have to contribute game one in September?
That is a good question that we will discuss coming up next. And we want your reaction to the Titans draft. We will get into the Shedeur Sanders stuff. Don't you worry. There is a little bit of a theme in the show today.
Right.
You will catch on with real quick. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're up and running on a post-draft reaction Monday here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Flaming Mouse.
Yes, I'm looking for a friend of mine.
Last name Jazz, first name Hugh.
Hold on, I'll check. Hugh Jazz! No, somebody check the men's room for a Hugh Jazz.
I'm Hugh Jazz.
Telephone.
Hello, this is Hugh Jazz.
Hi.
Who's this?
Bart Simpson.
What can I do for you, Bart?
Look, I'll level with you, mister. This is a crank call that sort of backfired, and I'd like to bail out right now.
All right. Better luck next time. What a nice young man.
Jason Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
That's a top 10 all-time Simpsons moment.
So good. I'm Hugh Jazz. How Mo asked for the – I mean, you'll hear more of these throughout the show.
Yes.
Obviously, we're going to get into that. But talking about the Titans draft, one thing I want to hit on real quick before I answer your question of how many of these guys have to – well, I can do that real quick. How many guys have to play, basically be ready for day one? Obviously, Cam Ward is on that list. Oladejo, I would say, is on that list. Winston, no, because of the injury. You need one of the receivers, probably two of them. You really need, two of them because, you know, you're pretty weak at that position. And then I would say Helm probably needs to be at least, you know, a contributor by that point. So, I mean, most of your draft I would say you're going to need right away.
Slater, to me, is going to find the toughest one because he's got to beat out Skoronski and that other guy they signed from the Lions.
Well, I think for him, he's in the perfect spot because
right.
he can basically – because I think David Stewart did this too. He can kind of sit for a year, be the swing guy, the backup guy.
Yep.
And then because is it Zeitler that they signed
yes.
from Detroit?
Yep.
Yeah. He's on a one-year deal.
Right.
So, I mean, basically, like, and you always have heard Floyd say, I'll find the guard later. Well, here's the guard you found later in the fifth round that you get him ready for next year.
And I think if you Bill Callahan, if you're working with him, let him do a little center.
That's a Bill Callahan special.
Figure it out.
There.
It's good. And then the last two, Marcus Harris and Superman, They probably won't make the team. I mean, I'm not going to – this running back out of Michigan.
Look, fine. We'll see. Yep. We'll see. I mean, they need a third running back. I mean, Chestnut's on the roster, and he might be the third running back. But, you know, that was a position I was kind of hoping they would pay a little more attention to. But once Sampson and Scatterboo were off the board, I was kind of like, okay.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm the Gunner Helm at tight end. I like that. If he can come in, look, he's got to beat out Chig and that Josh guy. Josh Wiley. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll carry three.
Yeah. So I think he'll push those other two, and that's fine. But Cam's got his tight end, which is great.
Yep, he sure does. Let's see. Where was I going to go? Oh, something else. So Cam Ward was introduced Friday after our show. Warren Moon surprises him, hands him the one, basically gives his blessing that, you know, he can wear the one. Warren met with reporters afterwards, and I think kind of revealed something that he wasn't supposed to reveal, and that is a uniform change is coming. I would assume next year, maybe with the new stadium. I guess he said it's going to be very similar to the Oilers, and so he hopes they don't have to wear the Oilers anymore. But that his rationale is he's given the one to him because he'll be number one for the Tennessee Titans, and Warren Moon wore number one for the Houston Oilers. Let's don't forget old Gary Anderson, who also wore number one before it was retired. But I have mixed emotions on it because it's like, why retire a number if you're just going to reissue it? Mm-hmm. Now, if Warren Moon made the decision truly on his own, which I'm going to assume he did for him to show up like that.
Let me pause you there. You think he showed up without any compensation? You're crazy.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he got something out of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's just kind of like, you know, why show up and do it? Like, the number's retired. You know, just let it be retired. Because the other thing, too, is when Cam was asked about it, he was like, man, you know, it's just a number. Like, it's an honor to have it, but I could have just worn 7.
But this is different because all that happened another place in time. I know it's the same franchise. I get that. But that has nothing to do with us in Nashville.
I agree. That's where I'm kind of mixed on it.
So if he wants to wear one, let him wear one. Now, for those that did it here, Steve, Eddie, Frank.
I never want to see a 927. And I hate that 89, like, there are guys that wear 89, you know? I don't like that.
Who wore it last year?
Jared Cook wore 89.
I know that.
Supernaw. Didn't
Supernaw
he
wore it. Yeah, yep. He wore it. Somebody had it last year, I think.
I don't remember. But, I mean.
Chig wears 85, which, you know, I mean, I kind of get it because Derek left. But, I mean, he's still the statistically greatest receiver the Titans have ever had.
Well, I mean, it's not retired.
You can't retire every number. And like, not every number deserves to be retired. And as much as I love Derek, 85 doesn't deserve to be retired. But like 9 and 27, yeah, leave those alone. Don't wear those anymore.
I'm with you. But it's also, remember what they did on that warm April day in 1999 when they revealed the new jerseys for Nissan or the state of the Titans coming here? I think they do the same thing in April or May of 27, that stadium opens.
So you think they wait?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Why waste it on that crappy, dumpy Nissan Stadium for 2 years when you could unveil it in the spring of 27. Everybody gets fired up. And I remember that day vividly when Frank came out and Hendrick came out wearing the jersey and Eddie, and they all went crazy. And was Blaine part of that too, I think?
I think Blaine was part of that.
Yeah, so everybody went crazy.
It was Hendrick, Wycheck, and Eddie. Eddie and Blaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people went and bought the jersey. I mean, it was flying off the shelf.
Here's the other thing too.
I'm with that.
Here's the other thing too. When we talk about throwback weekends and everything, like, I love the Oilers look, but to your point, that is, you know, it is Houston's. You know, it's cool to see it every now and then, but if they do this new uniform set and the NFL does a throwback weekend, which I think they're going to do, I want to see the Titans throwback. Like, I mean, that's my childhood.
Okay.
You know, and like, I'm in a generation now where – or there is a generation now where it's like, okay, it is cool to be nostalgic. Like, it's right behind you, Eddie with the white helmet, the two-tone blue, and the white pants. You know, like, it'd be cool to see that, you know, come back for a throwback weekend as the Titans. Like, I'd love the Oilers too, but, you know, if she eventually is like, look, I'm going to let Houston have them, which she won't, but, like, if she did.
Why would she?
There's no reason for her to do that. But if she did it, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. No, she's not. I mean, the city of Houston hated her father.
Yeah.
Her father hated the city of Houston. She saw what they did to him, in air quotes. So she'll never give that up. But yeah, whatever they unveil in two seasons, that'll be great. But if he's wearing one, I got no problem with it. I'm fine with it. 34, though, this is where it's all hypocritical. 34, though, is a little bit for me because it's Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
So why I'm not mad at Warren Moon, I'm a little mad if they did it with Earl Campbell. It makes
right.
no sense.
Right.
And it's just hypocrisy to me in my own world at its finest.
So in Anthony says, did y'all see Lawrence Taylor told Abdul Carter, find a new number? The Titans need to take Titans need to take notes. How the hell are y'all going to retire a number for someone he hasn't earned or proven bleep? Now let's say Cam comes in and ends up a Marcus. They're going to look real dumb.
Find a new number. I did not hear that. That's great.
No, that's an LT thing to say. Here's the thing about retiring numbers, and this leads us into our next discussion. I mean, there's some places looking real stupid for retiring numbers right now. That's why you need to wait, and that's why not everybody should have their number retired.
I think if you win a Heisman Trophy, you can retire your number immediately.
Okay.
With that.
Did Shedeur Sanders win a Heisman Trophy?
That's the problem.
He did not. And he's now a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
We will discuss that.
Yes!
Coming up next, including the prank phone call. I've been sitting here waiting to talk about this all weekend.
Love it.
Why did he fall to the fifth round? We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And, of course, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Most Tavern, where do you eat meat to drink?
Hello, is Mike there? Last name, Rutch.
Hold on, I'll check. My crotch! My crotch! Hey, has anybody seen my crotch lately? Listen to me, you little puke. One of these days, I'm gonna catch you, and I'm gonna carve my name on your back with an ice pick.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
You know, the best part of that is Lisa laughing.
Oh, yeah.
She's just crying laughing in the background.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Monday, reacting to the draft. A lot of people weighed in about the uniform thing. Logan says, screw the Oilers uniforms. Give me white helmets back. Wanting the Titans stuff. Robert says, they've let a rookie come in and rip apart the franchise they have been trying to build for the last several years with the history of Houston and now Tennessee. The guy hasn't proven anything, but yet the words that come out of his mouth about a number, one being a Houston number versus the Titans number, it just all feels icky. Well, you didn't really say that. It was more Warren Moon saying that.
Right.
I mean, Cam's kind of handled this right, in my opinion. I mean, if he had said no, I would have worn seven.
Yeah.
And the only reason he asked Warren Moon was because, you know, somebody pushed him to ask.
Yeah, it's a little respect there. Make you feel good for the crowd, for the fan base.
It'll look good. It'll look good to have Warren come out and give you the number. Just remember, nothing is really authentic anymore.
Nope.
So.
Nah, I take that back.
Some things are.
When Rand got hired, that was authentic.
I saw that video over the weekend.
That so awful.
Anywho, Shedeur Sanders was predicted to, at one time, be the first overall pick, and then the second overall pick, then maybe sometime in the middle of the first round, then 21 to the Steelers, then at some point in the first round, then maybe the second round. Finally, he's drafted in the fifth round on day three by the Cleveland Browns, a team that had multiple opportunities to take him. And then when they finally did, their general manager looked like, you know, he had just had some bad sushi.
Do you think there's nothing about this anywhere that Goodell called Haslam and said, hey, man, do me a solid. We'll help you get out of this Watson contract.
Here's what I think. There's a lot of layers to this, and let me kind of go through mine and, you know, before you give yours. I've heard the collusion word thrown out there that, you know, did he piss so many people off with the interviews at the combine that they all colluded, like, hey, we're not going to take this guy. then the prank call happens, and it, and then I wonder, oh, somebody needs to take him. You know, we got, because now we got this to deal with. I don't think it was truly collusion, but I do. I mean, like, there are some things that just kind of, like, how can you miss if you're the draft prognosticators? Like, I know Kuiper's getting beat up today, and he should, but how do you miss that bad? Because he wasn't the only one that said that he was a first, second-round guy, right?
Right.
I mean, that was, like, was the film that bad?
Well, maybe the workouts. Maybe all that stuff late to the meetings, the attitude. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that all played a part in it. I would
I think, well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
you seen, like, the video of him and Shador, Cam Ward and Shador?
Yeah.
In the SMU, they're training, and they're getting ready to go, and Shador's like, hey, man, let's cut a song together. Cam's like, no, I'm here to play football. He's like, yeah. Oh, come on, man. It's kind of song. He's like, I'm here to play football. I'm here to work out. And I'm like, attaboy, Cam.
Well, wasn't there a quote over the weekend from somebody with the Titans that said, we took guys off their off our board because of their lack of love of football?
I read that somewhere.
You know, yeah. Like, so, but again, my question is, because, you know, you'll see guys that have an ego or have, you know, have the personality issues or whatever. But the tape supports still taking him because you can deal with the ego. Like, if a guy's good enough, you're going to figure out how to deal with the ego. The film obviously, like, showed them that, yeah, this guy isn't worth dealing with his
look, BS. I've watched almost every game he played last year at Colorado. I mean, the guy can throw the ball.
Sure.
I think he's a good quarterback.
He's better than a fifth rounder. So why
he's
did
much
he,
better.
So why did he drop to the fifth?
They don't want to deal with the nonsense. They think he's going to bring nonsense where they're not going to do it. It's
his
any
dad
player.
And what I laughed at is Shiloh, in one of the videos they posted, said, well, our dad was our agent, but that hasn't really worked out, so we might have to get an agent.
He said that?
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, like, it's just, did they send a message? Was the message sent of, hey, you're not above a team, you're not above a league?
I think so.
You know, so, and like, because there were points where I almost felt sorry for the kid, you know, that he was having to go through all this.
Right. 'Cause
again, he's a talented guy. Well, now he truly has to go prove it. Now, I don't know what Cleveland's doing because, you know, they draft Dylan Gabriel. They got five quarterbacks in the room. We know that Watson's probably played his last down.
Yep.
And he's hurt anyway. But you signed Flacco, you got Kenny Pickett, and then you drafted Gabriel and then Shador.
Right.
So the numbers don't add up there. My guess is they'll trade Kenny Pickett.
That's a Super Bowl winner, Chase. Be careful.
Well, so is Flacco. So
that's right.
But yeah, I think Flacco probably ends up starting the year.
Probably. We'll see. But I just think that the time is you don't want to deal with the head. I mean, it's tough enough being a coach. And now coming here. But if you were approaching these meetings away from the field, showing up late and all that, you can't dispute that. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not putting up with that nonsense. Nobody's greater than the team, so I'm not going to deal with it. The larger thing is now the prank phone call, all right? I was at 18, 19, 20, 20. I prank called people all the time. All the time as a kid. Here is the prank call. Which, Dr. Crane, is this from the prank callers angle?
Yes, this video is for both. So
okay.
Once you get one answer, you get it right after.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, is this Shador? Hey, this is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. How you doing? This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, we're waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man. Hey, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man.
All right, so there it is. All right, so people are up in arms about this. Let me say real quick. I prank called all the time as a kid. We all did. I don't care what circumstances. Didn't Will Levis get prank called last year?
Probably.
I think he did.
And more is coming out that other guys got pranked during
on
the draft.
On and on
here,
and on. It's
that's a
joke. It's a joke. People do it all the time. I did it. Now, here's who has to pay for all this. The NFL, I think, is going to come down on the Atlanta Falcons. The kid who did it, his dad is offensive coordinator for the
Jeff
Falcons.
Ulbrich.
found the number on an open iPad, allegedly, air quotes. Somebody's got to pay for this. It's going to be the Falcons. They're going to come down hard to the Falcons with a fine. So if it happens again, you'll say, like, look what happened. My God, the Falcons will pay $500,000 for this. I think that's what happens. To the kid who did this, yeah, you're a numbskull. We all were. I got no problem with it. I laughed. I'll laugh again. I'll laugh a year from now. I got no problem with it. But the NFL is going to send a message. They're going to find the Falcons, and that'll be the end of it.
I think you're right. I think because now they're like – because the other way to look at it, too, is the NFL is going to say, well, this is going to take heat off of the teams for, you know, let him drop. It's going to make some of the collusion talk go away. Because, like, you can't – like, I don't think every team called each other and was like, hey, you cool? We're not going to take him, right? All right, we're just going to let him – we're gonna let him fall.
I don't think that happened.
No, but I understand why it's being brought up. I mean, it certainly looks that way. So yes, I think the NFL is going to come down hard on the Falcons.
Somebody's got to pay.
It's not the Falcons' fault, but it's the Falcons' fault because he's an employee of the Falcons.
Good point.
And like I was, you know, we were kind of talking about this in our group chat last night, where I was like, look, I mean, I get it. Like, it's not really their fault. But a guy that works for them left an iPad sitting out at his home and his dumbass 21-year-old son that we've all been that before.
Right. Yes.
Like, oh, hey, this will be funny. Let's get with my buddies and let's call Shedeur Sanders and tell him that we're the Saints.
Right. It is. So the question is, did you laugh at the prank call or do you think it's horrible? And that
I don't think it is cut dry because I think, like, I thought it was pretty crappy, but I laughed at it.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
it.
Like, I mean, I'll admit that. Like,
but you laughed.
I was like, oh.
But you laughed at it.
Now, and then I'm like, oh, this is
so, all right, better this. Did you laugh or did you not laugh? I laughed my tail off at it. It happens all the time. It happened to him at the moment that was going on. I mean, somebody could have prank called Aaron Rodgers in 05. Lamar Jackson in, was it 17 or 18, whatever it was. It happens all the time. Good Lord. I mean, we would prank call everybody around.
I mean, supposedly Isaiah Bond, who I don't think is signed anywhere because he's got some stuff going on, but he got prank called by somebody pretending to be the Falcons. I mean, it's just – so the NFL has – now they have an issue. It's like, okay, because these are numbers that they basically dish out that are draft numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how is this information getting out? That's the problem. That, and I know we can find just about anything these days, but it's like that's the issue,
right?
Is finding that, you know, as for Shedeur Sanders and the fall, I mean, I wonder if he does, if the prank call thing doesn't happen, does he get drafted at all? I really do wonder that.
So, what do you think happened then? That the NFL called the Browns and said, hey.
I just think, like, eventually they all felt sorry for him, and it was just like, all right.
If you feel sorry for a guy and you pick him, then you're a sorry ass franchise.
Well, do you see the franchise that picked him?
Exactly. Haslam picked him.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a really. And the other thing is, if we're not talking about. I mean, we're not talking about this if his last name is Dubin or McCabe.
No.
You know, like, right. This is just like,
but
oh, whatever.
Why are some so mad about this? It's a prank call. That's it. No more, no less. It's somebody's moment in life. That's fine. It happens all the time. It'll happen next year. Why are people so mad about this?
Well,
I don't get it because
honestly, I think people don't know how to feel about him. It's like you want to be like, good, you got what you deserve. And at the same
good
time,
point.
You want to feel sorry for him.
That's a really good
there
point.
There are two things that could happen because of this. I'm not saying they will, but they could. And I will tell you what those
are.
Coming up next, plus we'll get your calls and texts. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Monday, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hello, Moe's Tavern, birthplace of the Rob Roy.
Is Seymour there? Last name, Butts.
Just a sec. Hey, is there a Butts here? Seymour Butts? Hey, everybody, I want to see more Butts! Oh, wait a minute. Listen, you little scum-sucking puss bucket. When I get my hands on you, I'm going to pull out your eyeballs with a corkscrew.
Yes!
Oh, little Moe's Tavern. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and some Led Zeppelin on this Monday. Two things. And by the way, I love the text. A lot of mixed reviews on this. Logan says, why video the prank call? I mean, you wanted to go viral.
Why not? Yes, exactly what they did.
Robert, the kid is 21. LOL, I pranked call people when I was like 15. Fair point.
All right.
Lenny says, Shador is a talented athlete because of his dad, and he's also professionally obscure because of his dad. That's fair. Fair point.
Okay. Yep.
Gina Spring Hill, sum it up. We're talking about a prank call. If we're talking about a prank call, it must have been a really slow sports weekend. Who cares?
But it's still, I mean, it's relevant for what's happening, but it's a prank call.
Kevin in Florida, a better discussion instead of Sanders is talking about that tool Mel Kiper Jr. What an ass clown. He also says, I think Big Joe, because it was a prank call from a family member of a coach in the NFL, people see it as worse than if it was from a 14-year-old Big Joe Dubin from Hamsterville, Tennessee.
That's a great place, Hamsterville. Look, if I'm the kid's dad, I'm livid. I don't know. Can you beat a 21-year-old to death?
No.
If he's your kid? I mean, the kid's got – I full blame on the kid because you put your dad at jeopardy who has a great job. He's a defensive coordinator of the National Football League. But again, the flip side, it's a prank call.
I think what we're seeing in all of this is it is a great lesson in don't be an entitled little you-know-what. And I think that there have been too many examples where I do think Shador Sanders is a talented quarterback. And you know what? Now everything's on his shoulders. Yeah. Well, prove everybody wrong.
There we go.
You know, F around and find out. Prove everybody wrong. Do like Tom Brady did. You want to – okay, you pass on me. Pick 199, watch. He became the greatest of all time.
He did.
I'm not saying Shador is going to do that, but he has an opportunity to. My thing is, don't be a little entitled you-know-what, and that's what he was. Somebody said, and we got a ton of texts, so I'm sorry, but 50% of his what he did was preparation for the draft. 50% was the brand, building the brand, that he was so concerned with building the brand. Well, you know what? The difference is that I see with Cam Ward cares about playing football. That'll build his brand.
Yeah. There's a clip of Brady talking about opportunity, you know, they're getting drafted so late. And Brady says, look, you will get opportunities, but are you prepared to take advantage of it? Mm-hmm. Now it's on Sanders. Go ahead and prove himself. And look, if he's fifth, great. I wish that young man all the success in the world. But at the end of the day, it's a prank call. That's it. It's a prank call.
The two things that I think could happen, I'm not saying they will, but had he not been drafted, I definitely think these two things would have happened. But something in this new era that I think we need to be, you know, aware of. Number one, he's a fifth-round pick now. Hypothetically, he can make more money going back to college. He's got a year of eligibility left. Who's to say he can't sue the NCAA saying that I can make better wages coming back here? You know, so you have to let me come back.
So he signed, all right, with an agent, we assume?
He did not. And here's the other thing. That crap doesn't matter anymore because these kids got agents in college. You can't hide behind that anymore. You can't hide behind, oh, he declared for the draft. I mean, I think all that stuff can be challenged. And if it's viewed in a court of law, you are preventing them from making better wages for themselves. They will be allowed to go back.
You are like it.
That day is coming. And you know who started the train rolling down that track?
Pavia.
Diego Pavia.
You sound like a young Blair Durham.
Thank you very much.
I like this.
Thank
we
you
We should call
much.
Mr. Durham up and say, hey, do you have any openings? Because my man.
Hey, they do a great job over there. I'm gonna keep doing my job over here.
In this world, anything can happen now.
And like when we had the coach on last week, and you know, I brought kind of a similar situation up to him, and he was like, nah, I don't think that's going to happen. There's a lot of stuff that's happening now that you didn't think was going to happen 5 years ago.
But do you want a guy who's drafted in fifth round, complains about it, goes back to college to do that? Do you want a guy like that?
If I'm Alabama or Tennessee or Texas or one of these big-time programs, no. But if I'm Colorado – If I'm a team that doesn't get that type of notoriety,
all right,
and I know that if I pay a guy a couple $1 million more than he's going to make as a fifth round pick, and I bring him in to be the face of my team for a year, hell yeah, I do.
But if you're an NFL team, do you want him the next year? Do you want the same nonsense?
He's not
going to change who he is.
Probably not. But at the same time, if he goes and he balls out and he improves on some things.
Right. Somebody sent me a note and said, what's the difference between his dad and him getting drafted? Let's don't compare this. Deion Sanders was a generational talent. His son is not. Deion was amazing in college. Had the famous line when the Falcons drafted him, I'm going to ask for so much money, they're going to put me on layaway.
Yep.
Deion is not Shador. Shador is not Deion. Deion was amazing. This is not the same thing. Not even close in all this. So I don't want a guy who complains about getting drafted, goes back to college, comes back. I don't want a guy like that.
Well,
you have an opportunity.
I'm not saying
he has a great opportunity now in Cleveland.
I agree.
Go do it.
I'm just saying it's probably not going to happen in this situation, but do not be surprised if it doesn't happen in the future. The other thing that could happen, I go back to the whole collusion thing. If, in fact, there was any collusion at all, they got a lawsuit. And the NFL is definitely hoping. Oh, I see what you just did. And the NFL has to be like, oh, please, 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 good Lord.
Oh, this is by far not over.
No.
And the prank call is added to it.
Do you think he reports to camp?
Yeah.
I do too. But I mean, would you be surprised if he didn't?
Of course.
I mean, it would add to the whole
thing. You don't
report
to camp, you are truly showing who you are.
Yeah, right.
Go to camp. Get it done. You have the opportunity now. Prove everybody wrong. We want to prove everybody wrong. Go do it. You got a great shot there to do that. Look, I think he's a good quarterback.
I think he's better than a fifth rounder. I get it.
He's like, better than that thing from Louisville that got drafted. 1,000 times better than Louisville.
He's better than Will Levis.
Yeah.
And Will Levis was a second round pick that's still on the team.
Right.
Like, I'll give him that. But they humbled him because everybody is tired of these entitled kids that, you know, come in here thinking that they're, you know what, doesn't stink and, you know, put me on the radio or put me in the football game or whatever. You know, I say this all the time. The guy sitting behind the glass busts his ass every day because he's learned to earn it. Because he doesn't come in here and expect things to be handed to him. I busted my ass for years to get to where I am, just like you did, because I didn't come in here saying, oh, I went to school for 5 minutes. Give me a show.
Get it, man. Look,
like it,
opportunities.
It's, but that's the problem. And then kids see a guy like Shador Sanders wearing, you know, gold and all this crap saying like, oh, yeah, look at my brand. Look at my brand. I got to put my brand on social media when he's good. Like he is good enough that the play should speak for himself. But he's got to go out there and be like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then he pisses off 32 NFL teams that don't want to deal with this bull. You know what?
All right, so when I go to bed at night, I do two things. I thank God for blessings, and I ask God for opportunities. That's it. It's that simple. Don't give me this or that. Give me opportunities. When the opportunity shows up, take advantage of it, work it, get it done. He has a blessing. He got drafted. He has an opportunity now to make a mark in the National Football League with really not much pressure. You're at the Browns. You're a fifth rounder. Go in there and get it done. What a story this will be if he makes it and starts and becomes a success. Hell, that's better than anything going on right now with him. What a story he will have.
Sure.
Do it that way.
Sure. And look, I saw Jared's tweet over the weekend of how quick can the ESPN turn around a 30 for 30. Because, I mean, they got one. And, like, there will probably be one on Shador Sanders one of these days. But to your point, that's the opportunity he has in front of him now. Now you shut up. Go do the work.
Right.
Be like, hey.
Pretty simple.
You draft me in the fifth round, hold my beer. Watch what I'm about to do.
Why is he drinking?
Why do you got to do that on everything? You know what I mean.
Just the quarterback room to just put reference to all this. Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
Five marquee names right there in one quarterback room.
And according to our friends at Music City Bets via the, I think this is DraftKings, quarterback to take first snap for the Cleveland Browns regular season week one, Kenny Pickett is the favorite at -110. Shador Sanders second, +175. Dylan Gabriel at +500. Joe Flacco at +1,200. Deshaun Watson +1,500.
Pickett, really?
I mean, that does. I said Flacco earlier, but that actually does make sense. Bring Flacco in through, you know, training camp and all that stuff.
Right.
You probably cut him or trade him, you know, because there'll be a team looking for. Like, look, honestly, if I'm the Titans, I would rather have Joe Flacco come in here and be the backup to Cam Ward than what they currently have.
So the Browns get a little trade option for everybody right now. Really?
What if Shedeur Sanders is starting week one?
I love it. Then he earned it. Then he earned it. Then he earned to be the starting quarterback in the National Football League. I love it.
We will continue this discussion with Brett Kern, former Titans punter. He will join us coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.